Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We all understand that it's a time of crisis, times of uncertainty, spiritual, social, moral confusion. That's the climate that we find ourselves in. But it's in these kinds of times that the church shines, or at least these are the times when the church really should shine.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian begins his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian begins this series with his teaching on Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, in a message titled, The Spirit, the Church, and the World. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Today, as you know, we are beginning our study through the book of Acts. And I want to just tell you a little bit about, you know, things that have been stirring in my heart that I think have led us to this place. But I've been having a strong sense as of late about the importance of the church really being who the Lord intends us to be in the world. And this has been, you know, kind of a burden on my heart about the church being in the world. You know, what are we to be like? And the one thing that we see from Scripture is that the church is something different. It's something entirely different. It's something that, you know, it's not predictable. It's something that has an identity all of its own, a unique and a special identity. And that's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that I feel we're going to see clearly as we go through Acts. And it's something that I feel is really important that we understand that at this time. I think that we would all probably agree that we're living in radical times. You know, these are strategic days, really, for the gospel. Every now and again, you find yourself living in a time and a place in history where either the gospel is going to have an impact and bring about radical transformation, or things are going to implode. And I think that's where we are at. And I wouldn't even say nationally, I would say more culturally, because it goes beyond the United States of America. It's kind of the entire Western world, but the rest of the world is sort of swept up in it as well. And I think we all understand that it's a time of crisis, times of uncertainty, spiritual, social, moral confusion. That's the climate that we find ourselves in. But it's in these kinds of times that the church shines, or at least these are the times when the church really should shine. And as we look back in history, you know, we talk often about a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. We talk often about wanting to see a revival. We use that term. But, you know, if you study history, revivals happen in the midst of social chaos. There's hardly a revival that's ever taken place that happened in the midst of serenity and peace and prosperity. They usually occur in times of social chaos, and understandably, because it's during those times that people start to wonder, what in the world is going on? What is life about? And so it's a great, great time for the church to shine, but we've got to make sure we really are who God wants us to be. So as I said, the church, God intends the church to be something distinct, something other than everything else around it. And when the church becomes identified with a particular social class or group, or a particular race, or a particular political persuasion or something like that, when the church is predictable and mechanical, and when the message of the church can't really be distinguished from the message of the world, that's when you know the church is in trouble. So we have got to make sure that we are maintaining that distinction. And I can't think of a better way to do that than through a study of the book of Acts. Because in Acts, we're looking at the beginning, the development, and the progress of the church. But it's not just a historical account, although it is that. The book of Acts is also it's a blueprint. It's somewhat of a blueprint for successive generations to follow. Now, I say somewhat of a blueprint because it's not a complete picture of what the church is to be like. We have the epistles in the New Testament that shed more light on it. And then there's a certain place where God has left it open for just the leading of the Spirit. But the essential things, the core things, the primary things that a church is to be, these things are all found for us here in the book of Acts. And so the book of Acts is the story of the Spirit's work through the church in the world. That's pretty much the story of the book. So we're going to look, first of all, at the Spirit. And of course, the Spirit here is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it like this or not, but this is how we need to understand the book of Acts. What the Gospels are to Jesus, and they are what? The Gospels are to us a revelation of the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection of Christ. What the Gospels are, the focal point of the Gospels is Jesus. The focal point of Acts is the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we absolutely cannot lose sight of is who the Holy Spirit is. Because just like Jesus is God the Son, well, the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about, you know, someone who's inferior. We're not talking about someone who's, you know, just completely different. We're talking about the third person of the Trinity when we're talking about the Spirit. And as the book of Acts begins, Luke is the author of Acts. We'll go into that in more detail next time. Luke is the author of Acts, but remember, Acts is the sequel to Luke's gospel. And right here at the beginning, as we read, remember, Luke says this. He says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up." So Luke's gospel is what Jesus began to do and teach. Acts is what Jesus continues to do, but he does it through the person of the Spirit. There are some 60 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And I think that the book of Acts should really be entitled the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Instead of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it really should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you wanted to get, you know, super specific about it, you would have to say it's the book of the Acts of the apostles and other people, some apostles and other people. But the very title, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, was tagged onto this book in the middle of the second century as a response to a heresy that had developed at that time. So the Markianite heresy had arisen at this time that essentially said there was only one apostle and that was Paul. And so they took Acts to prove that, no, there were other apostles. So they tagged this name onto it, the Acts of the Apostles. But really, as you look at it, it's better understood as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that's really what the book is about. It's about the working of the Spirit. Now, remember this as well, that the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So like I was saying a moment ago, when we're talking about the Acts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about what the Lord is doing. So in some ways, although there's obviously a distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in other ways, there's not a distinction in the sense that when we're talking about what the Spirit is doing, we're talking about what Jesus is doing. We're talking about what the Lord is doing. Jesus is moving. Jesus is working. Jesus told his dejected, perplexed disciples on that night before he went to the cross, when they were all concerned about the fact that he's telling them that he's going to go away. And they're like, what do you mean? You're going to go away? Where are you going? And they were afraid that they were going to be left alone. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but don't worry. I'm not going to leave you orphan. He said, I'm going to send you another helper. And the word there, another, it means another one who's just like me. So that was the promise of Jesus, that he would send the Spirit, who would essentially, like I said, who would really just pick up his work and carry it on. That's what the Spirit is doing. Now, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, that is where we have the most thorough instruction from Jesus on the person and the work of the Spirit. So let me just read over what Jesus said about the Spirit from those chapters, and it'll help us again to just get a clear picture of what we can expect as the Holy Spirit is working among us. So Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he will testify of me. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So these are the things that Jesus said the Spirit would do. He's going to bring everything to your remembrance. He's going to take what I've said, and he's going to declare that to you. He's going to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And of course, here as we move into the book of Acts, we see that he is the one who's going to empower the servants of Christ to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God through the church. So the Spirit is front and center here in this book. Let me say one last thing. The acts of the Holy Spirit recorded here in this book are not limited to this book. In other words, the Holy Spirit is still working today and will do so until his work of applying the redemptive work of Christ to sinners is done. So the Holy Spirit is still at work. You know, when you read the book of Acts, if you've read it before, or as you see as we go through it, it ends, but it sort of doesn't end. It's like when it ends, you're thinking, wait, why is it ending here? There's still more to the story. Yes, there's more to the story. And I can imagine that, you know, perhaps one day when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that, oh, there were many, many more chapters in Acts than were actually given to us initially, because the work of the Spirit went on and on and on. So the Spirit, that's where we start. But secondly, we're looking at the church. We're talking about the church. Acts is about the birth, development, and progress of the church. But here's a question. What is the church? Now, the church is not the building. The building is just the building. But I think in our culture, we oftentimes, you know, we drive by a church, we point to a building and we say that's a church. But really, the building is the house of the church. The church are us, the people. The church are the people of God, not the particular building that we gather in. The word church in English comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. And this word, ekklesia, originally referred to a gathering of citizens called out from their homes to attend special meetings of the council. Here's the important point. Those of the ekklesia were seen as distinct from the other people in the community. So the church are those who have been called out of the world to worship God, separated from the world, but yet sent back into the world to bear witness for Christ and to spread his kingdom. Now, the Bible is full of many different pictures or metaphors that are used to speak about the church. One metaphor that is used as the bride of Christ. The household of God is another. The body of Christ is another. The temple of the Holy Spirit is another. And we could go on with the list, but there are three things that I want to highlight when we think about the church and what it is, what its identity is, what its function is. It is, first of all, a city that is set upon a hill, or the light of the world, as Jesus said, or light shining in the darkness. And the picture there is that the church is like a beacon of light guiding the way to safety. So this is what the church is. The church is the light of the world. What's being implied there is that the world is in darkness and that people are lost and people can't find their way and people are in danger of becoming shipwrecked and all of those kinds of things. Like a lighthouse signals to the ships out at sea that they're getting near to the shore. So, and of course, the danger is the real message that's being sent. The church is that signal. We are sending that signal of light out into the world to help people come into a safe harbor, so to speak, to come into safety through, obviously, ultimately trusting Christ. So that's one picture of the church. Another picture is that the church is a colony of heaven on earth. A colony of heaven on earth. Now, this is one I want us to really think about. Now, a colony, it is a place where the center of the empire has a colony, it's moved itself to another geographical location, and it's just reproduced itself there. So when people come into the church, the gathering, when they come into the building where we, the people of God, are gathered, there should be an atmosphere of heaven. That's what people should sense. There should be like a taste of heaven. There should be something here that reminds people primarily about heaven, about God, and about his kingdom. And to me, that's such a beautiful thing. I love that picture. And that's what the Lord is seeking to cultivate. So as you go into a congregation of God's people, it is not to primarily reflect the immediate culture or the nationality or those things. Those things are obviously going to be part of it to some degree, but the bigger picture and the greater atmosphere is to be that of heaven. And heaven is made up of people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And so the church should be a place where people from every single background, every single ethnicity, whatever, that everybody comes together and feels welcome and comfortable together because we're all in the atmosphere of heaven. We're all in that place where we're all standing equal before God and one another. So the church is a colony of heaven on earth. And then thirdly, the church is an outpost for the true king behind enemy lines and a base of operation for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. The church is an outpost for the true king behind enemy lines. And so wherever a church is established, we become an outpost, but we also become a base of operation. You see, that's what we're doing. We are going into enemy territory, and we are taking back from the enemy what does not belong to him, but really what belongs to Christ, because not only did he create it, but he purchased it with his blood. So the church is a place where we are being strengthened, where we are being instructed, where we are being equipped, and from which we are being sent out with the message that there is another king, that there is a true king, that Jesus is the rightful Lord. So the church, a city set up on a hill, a colony of heaven on earth, an outpost for the true king behind enemy lines. So, thirdly, we have the world. So the world is the place where the Spirit carries out his mission through the church. So the world is the place of mission. And so in Acts, these are the things that are emphasized: the Spirit, the church, and the world. Because it's through the church that the Spirit is reaching out to the world. Now, the mission of the Spirit through the church is to bring the gospel of eternal salvation and all of its implications for life and godliness to every tribe, tongue, people, and nation scattered across the planet. So that's what the mission of the church is in the world. And I want you to notice there are two things here. There's, first of all, bringing the gospel of eternal salvation. And then there's, secondly, bringing all of the implications for life and godliness. There are two things there. The first is that we're preaching the gospel, the message of salvation that comes through faith in Christ. But then we are discipling people. We are training people. We are making them followers of Christ, where they're able to take and apply all of the implications of the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ. They're able to apply that in their lives. So the book of Acts will show us how the Spirit through the church has set about to liberate the world from sin and death through the gospel. And in showing us how they did it, it will give us a model of how we are to do it. Like I said, the book of Acts is our, it's kind of our blueprint that this is what the church is to look like in the world. But it's not going to just give us information. It's going to remind us and emphasize to us how absolutely essential it is that we have this power of the Spirit. You see, it's not a matter of just knowing these things. That's important. But God wants us to experience these things. And so I am believing that as we go through this book of Acts, we're not just going to learn about the Holy Spirit. We're going to experience a fresh work of the Spirit among us. And that's going to translate into the power of God in fresh ways in our life, the gifts of the Spirit working among us, and the gospel going out more impactfully and effectively to the world and people coming to Christ. So that's what I believe the Lord has in store for us as we study together through the book of Acts. And I'm excited about the days ahead, and I'm excited to see how the Lord's going to work. And let me just close with this. As I said kind of in the beginning, this is the only hope for the world. There is no hope outside of this. You know, if you are a person who is thinking, you know, well, everything's going to get sorted out. You know, the politicians are going to take care of it. I feel sorry for you. If you think that is about as clueless as you could possibly be, or whatever, you know, the philosophers or the scientists or whoever, the situation has just gone so far in the wrong direction that, and the momentum is to continue to go in that direction. It's not to swing back the other way. So if there's going to be any healing of society, it's going to happen through an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, as Jesus said, the Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Spirit does out in the world. But then as we're going to see, the Spirit comes upon the people of God to empower them. And when a convicted world meets an empowered people of God, guess what happens? Lives change, transformation takes place, salvation occurs, and that's what we long, hope, and pray for in the days ahead.
For the month of March, Back to Basics Radio is offering a timely resource titled 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics by Charlie Campbell. Has a skeptic in your life ever stumped you with questions regarding God, social ethics, or supposed contradictions in the Bible? Well, with this book, 1 Minute Answers to Skeptics, Concise Responses to the Top 50 Objections and Questions by Charlie Campbell, you can be equipped to address the questions of skeptics on those exact topics and many others. If you want to be equipped to always be ready to give a defense of the faith, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.